Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our King. You are a sovereign King. You are a matchless King. Lord, there's no one like you. There's no one like you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are our King. You are the King of kings. We bless you this morning, God. And we want to say, open up, you gates. Open up, you ancient doors. Let the King of glory come in right now, in this moment, in this specific moment in time. We pray that there will be an opening up and there will be an entering of a King into our lives, into our mindsets, into every aspect of who we are, God. We trust you that the King will come and that you will conquer and that you will conquer us, that you will conquer everything about us, God, and that your rule and your reign will come be and established in our lives in this moment, in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Wow! Do you know him? Huh? Do you know him? That's my King. I mean, some of these words I can't even pronounce. Who have you said, like, what does that mean? That just means he's amazing. There's no one like him. It's like the highest word that you can find to describe who God is, because I think that word is almost like marshmallows. It doesn't even capture who he really is, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I was planning this Sunday to come and bring some vision. We're going to do these things. And I felt the Lord says, there's something he wants us to do first. And what I'm trusting for, that by the end of today, that we somehow get out of our chairs and that we will shake off what we need to shake off today. And this may be condemnation that's maybe holding some of you. And we need to open up gates and we need to say, let this King of glory come in and let him conquer us, conquer our thoughts, conquer everything. And I want to ask you, do you know him? Because if you know him, you will know who is at the gate. Psalm 24, the psalmists are calling on these gates and these ancient doors, and they're calling them to attention to open up, because there's a King at the gate that wants to come in. And he says, open up. Do you recognize him? Admit that this is the King of glory. This is the one that will come in. And why is he the King of glory? I'm going to answer that question right now. But first thing I wanted to say, like some guys say that this scripture is when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And so you have Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord, everything in it. Because he has created it. Like Tian, it's like in the beginning, God created. He created everything. So he's the King of kings because he is the one that created all of us. He has the very right to conquer us. Not that he actually has to, but he is the King of glory. So they say, it's like, I think what happened is like David started off at Obed-Edom's house and he says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And then he says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who have clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to another idol, who does not speak with these words deceitfully. It's similar than last week where there's that first thing is like, this King, he has created everything. Everything, we are his. Everything in it is his. And now David remembers that the previous time when they tried to move the ark, there was one guy that tried to touch it and he was dead. And he says, who will ascend? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. The Levites had to carry this ark, and they were carrying this thing, and they came to the gates. And the thing is that these choirs are saying, it's like, open up your gates. Let the King of glory come in. And so there was like this announcement. Admit that the one that is here. Now the Ark of the Covenant was a representation of God and his glory. In Numbers, there's a scripture. And this is one of the scriptures the Lord gave me for this year. And in Numbers 10 verse 35, I read this and my heart leaped. Sorry, all the leap things. My heart leaped. There was something of a jump in my heart. And it's the following. It says, and whenever the ark was set out, so the Moses, David's bringing the ark back now because it was captured by the Philistines and the whole thing. When the ark was in the Philistines' temple, I mean, their god fell on the ground and his head got chopped off. It's just, no one can stand in the presence of God. So they're bringing this ark back. But when Moses was traveling with this ark, they prayed this prayer as they moved out. It says, "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Let them flee before you." And then when they get back, it says, "Return, O Lord, O count to the countless thousands of Israel." So I believe this is the returning of a king where enemies has been conquered. The king is coming back. This battle's been fought. And the king is coming in. And David is coming in and he says, "Lift up your gates. Recognize, admit that the King of glory is at the gate." And then the other part of the choir goes like, "Who is this King of glory?" And then the other part of the choir, there's this choir, and it's like, "He is the Lord. He's strong and he's mighty. He's mighty in battle." Now let's look at that verse quickly. He is powerful. That word strong means he's powerful. He's a strong champion. He's a warrior. A warrior in battle. This is the Lord. The one who's coming in is the one who does not lose battles. He is a conquering king. He does not lose because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just ask Pharaoh that tried to pursue the Israelites in the desert. They thought they could pick a fight with the King of Kings. That all of them drowned in the sea. Even Moses, when he sang after that event, he says in Exodus 15 verse 3, he says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." This king is a warrior. He doesn't just sit back and being pushed over. He is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Just ask Jericho. A fortified city, almost impossible to conquer, not for the Lord. They walked around the city and the walls came down. Every nation that tried to come against him, God conquered. Just speak to Jehoshaphat. They were outnumbered with many armies. And they went to the Lord and said, "Lord, you know," let me just read verse 6. "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? The earth is the Lord and all. Are you not God in heaven? Are you ruler over all kingdoms of nations? In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." This is what Joseph had to, they outnumbered. This big army comes. And then verse 12 says, "O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And then verse 23. Now, this basically just to, for time's sake, I'm not going to read through this whole portion, but there was this big army. Jehoshaphat and them cried out. The Lord gave a word. Says, "Tomorrow you need to just rock up and stand. And then I will give you the victory." And then what happened is the next day, in verse 21. "And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. As they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever.'" Verse 22, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. The Lord is a warrior. You don't pick a fight with the Lord. He is the King of glory. He is the one who fights. He's a warrior. and he's coming back, just ask Goliath that defied the armies of the Lord. It only needed one stone to sort him out. Gideon, who took a fight with 300 guys. And go through the Bible. It is the stories of this king of glory. Who's going and it's like his kingdom is advancing. He's coming and he's bringing such an advancement. In Isaiah 6 verse 1, it says, It was in the year of King Uzziah, when King Uzziah died, that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Here's a picture. Isaiah saw this picture of God sitting on a throne, and his train filled the whole temple. And it is said that the kings of old, when they won a nation, they would sew a part of that king's robe onto their robe. And it says here, he has a king who sits on a throne, and the train of his robe is filling the whole temple. It speaks about a God that conquers and that rules. He is the king. Do you know him? Do you know him? Wow! That's my king. Do you know him? Do you know him as the one that is fighting for your heart right now? There are other kings that wants to contend for your heart. But I want to tell you, there's a king of glory. And if you open up the gates, he will come in. He will come in. He's a victorious king. I'm stirred with this passion that there are some of us that sit with certain things for years. Years that we're struggling with these things, struggling to overcome. I want to tell you that you have a king that does not lose, that conquers, that has the ability to overcome and help you to overcome in every circumstance that you're in. Maybe that sin that you're struggling to shake off. Open up the gates. Let the King of Glory come in. You've tried too long to try to fight this fight alone. Let the one who has a train, who has a witness of victory, come in. It's very quiet. Are you thinking or are you sleeping? Are you thinking? I'm sinking. Not sinking. You're thinking. Okay. Are you shocked? There's a king, guys. And he is standing at the gates of your heart. Depression that's been haunting you for years. Let the king come in. Let the king come in. A few years ago, I was leading worship quite a lot. And then, strange thing, every time before I had to lead worship, my throat was sore. It was like every time when I had to lead worship, my throat was sore. It was like, why? Why now? I mean, nothing happened before, but the moment when I was sick. And the thing is, I got sick most of the times. And then it's like almost, I realized that this is an enemy. It's not a virus. It's something that actually wants to hinder me from walking in the more of God. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, this thing is not right. And you know, some of us sit with sickness and we just go and lay under that. We submit to that sickness. Some of us will carry that thing and we will rejoice through it. But some of us can actually take a stand with the Lord and let the King of Glory come in. So the Lord took me through a journey where he's actually started to challenge my mindset, because I was actually thinking myself sick. I realized that my thoughts were toxic. Like, and we all have these thoughts, like when the seasons change, that's probably why I'm sick now. We speak these things over ourselves. If I drink too much coffee, takes the vitamin C out of your body, then you will get sick. Like I thought these things, and I actually were thinking myself sick. So I had to go and isolate every one of those thoughts and say, open up your gates, let the King of Glory come in. And start renewing my mind with the truths of who Jesus was. And then the Lord said, I want you to start praising me. And what I'm hoping for is that as I'm going to put this mic down, that we're going to jump out of our chairs and we're going to start praising this King of Glory. That do you know him? Do you know this King of Glory? He is the one who's conquering. And so I started challenging these thoughts. And then every time when I got sick, I started praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. And then over time, I saw actually when I started praying. I remember in Isle of Man once, I had to lead worship. I was the whole week, nothing wrong. Sunday morning, I had to lead worship. I woke up at 3 a.m. with a very sore throat. And for an hour in my bed, I praised the Lord. I praised him. I praised him. I praised him. I praised him. I praised. For some of us, I'm sick. No, I'm just going to lay down. I said, Lord, I cannot in this moment submit to this thing. And then I started praising him. And then after that hour, my throat started feeling better. And I led worship that morning. I could still feel some aftermath of that something was there. But I sang that morning. And what did I do? I was declaring into this space the King of Glory, the King of Kings, the one who conquers, the one who is the name above sickness. Now, I know that there is place for medicine and so, but I'm telling you what happened with me because I was plagued with sickness and I had to make a stand with this. And I think many of us are plagued for years with things, and it is time that you actually have to put your foot down. Not your foot, his foot. Let him sit his foot down. open up the gates. Let the King of Glory come in. I'm getting the silly pictures, like this whole thing of the small dog that's barking, and then I'm seeing this big dog. It's like vase, vase, vase. And there's this kind of the thing. Not that God is a dog, but but it's the thing of like we need to allow God to come into the situations where there's hopelessness, where you're experiencing defeat. Because God has called us to overcome. He has called us to overcome. Because our overcoming is the light unto the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's like as you overcome, it becomes a light to a world that does not have that hope. And then you can introduce them to the King, who is the mighty warrior. First Peter 3, verse 15 says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. In your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. And then it goes on to always be ready to be a witness to the Lord. But in your hearts, open up the gates. Let the King of Glory come in. Revelation 3, verse 20, it says the following. I stand at the door and knock. And this is to a church who was actually very, lukewarm. The church in Laodicea. And as I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I'm standing at the door this morning. But Morris, it's my depression. Well, as long as that's going to be your identity, it's going to haunt you. We spent time with somebody in this week, like the last past 2 weeks, and the person is really being harassed and bullied by the devil. And I'm like, no! Do you know my King? Do you know the one who is a mighty warrior? Do you know the one that if you open up the gates, that the King of Glory can come in? And I know there's a place of praising the Lord and being content of where you are at, but let's get the King in there. You can't deal with this thing by yourself. And then verse 21 says, to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. To him who overcomes, I will give you the right to sit with me, with my Father on the throne. Becoming part of this conquering group. Like, just think of what happened in this whole thing where Richard says, like, the king coming in on a donkey. And people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were actually expecting a king on a horse. But Jesus could not do it like that. Even the kingdom of darkness didn't know what's going to hit them. Because Jesus had to die the death that we couldn't die. He had to take upon him us, and he needed to come low to become the King of Kings. And I want to read to you Philippians 2. It says this, Philippians 2 verse 5 to 11. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor. Why is he the King of Glory? He did not just conquer earthly armies. He conquered death. The very thing that had the sting upon our lives. He conquered that thing. And because he has overcome, we can overcome also. And gave him the name that's above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Remember, King? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and earth and under the earth. The angels here on earth and even the demonic realm. Every knee, every principality, every sickness, every disease, everything needs to bow before the Lord. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. I'm hoping that those of you that are being bullied and submitted to the things of the end, maybe it's a sin, and you've been trying to shake this thing off, and it just keep on coming for you. Guys, us trying ourselves is not going to help. You need one that has a train that fills a temple, that has conquered death, to come in. You need that one to come in. I want to read this one scripture quickly. Proverbs 18 verse 19. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. And disputes are like a barred gate of a citadel. It says, offended person is like a fortified city. I want to tell you, there's a king coming to those gates. Open up your gates. Open up your gates. Let the King of Glory come in. Let the King of Glory. Morris, but you don't know what that person did to me. I cannot forgive them. Let the King of Glory come in. You see what is possible. Let the King of Glory come in. But Morris, I'm wounded. Yes, let the King of Glory come in. He's also the healer. He's the one that can heal your heart. To those who overcome, he will give the right to sit with him. We are not called to just come and be bullied by the enemy. We are called to overcome so that we can be light to this dying world. So I want to call you to a place today. I want to say, overcome. Submit to Jesus. Humble yourself. Who will ascend the hill? Him who has clean hands and a pure heart. Deal with the impurities in your life. Deal with the things that is enslaving you, and allow this King of glory to come in. But Maurice, this is my condition. Let the King of glory come in. He might heal you, he might not heal you, but at least when the King of glory is, your eyes will be upon him and you will be praising. It might be while you're praising him that he will heal you. But don't go and lay under these things that the enemy wants to come and enslave you. Is there some warriors in here that wants to let the King of glory come in? Is there anyone in here? Huh? Deal with those repetitive sins. Overcome with them. Because so you can be light. Because there are people that's dying without Jesus. And if they don't see us overcome, how will they overcome? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can only overcome because he did. That's the only reason why we can. Bethany, hoe voel jy nou? Sê, Peter. Before we came to the meeting, she was nauseous and she had fever. And she just asked me to pray for her. And the Lord healed her. And she's better now. It's like sometimes we would just sit under these things. I'm trusting for a radical faith. I'm trusting for a David's army. That's like we don't have it all together. But we know our King, and we're running into battles because he is the one who conquers. We're running into this area that has been slaving us, and we say, open up, you gates. Let the King of glory come in. Open up, you everlasting doors. That thing is, it's been there for very long. Everlasting. Open up. And I'm trusting the Lord that he will release a faith in our hearts that we will start overcoming these things. I'm not saying that everyone is going to do what I did with this whole sickness thing. It was a spirit of infirmity that wanted to take me out. And this happened last year also. I don't know if you remember last year, Bethany, or like one of the kids brought a balloon for me to blow up. It's one of these thin things. Now, when I was a young teenager boy, I could do it. Like, my lungs are strong. So I thought, I'm going to blow this thing up, prideful now. Think I can do this. And as I started blowing up this balloon, I fainted for 2 seconds. Poor David, I fell on him. I fainted for 2 seconds, like 2-3 seconds. I was on the ground. I woke up and I was like, and I led the meeting that day. But after that, I started feeling that there was something strange on my head. Like, and I was dizzy the whole time. I couldn't do a lot. I was very dizzy. And then one morning, the prayer meeting, they prayed for me. And then I started feeling better and it lifted. But what I started feeling is this strange thing on my head. And I think the enemy tried to come for me again. With that infirmity, that thing. I mean, I was even thinking like, am I that age that I'm going to die? There was somebody that had a prophetic word about the guy who fell. He went to the doctor and the doctor gave him a quick thing. And then like almost, he didn't give him the right diagnosis and then he died. And I was like, Lord, is this me? I fell? And these things were going through my head. And so in the mornings, early in the mornings, I was praying and I was feeling this thing. And I was like, I'm not going to submit to this thing. I'm not going to, whatever this is. And I was worrying and I was praying and it took long. And I'm not saying that you're going to step in, let the King of glory, and it's just going to change by one day. But at least you are standing with the King. At least you're standing with him in the battle. And you're not giving up. You're not submitting to whatever thing that wants to come and sit on you. Who of you knows that as I'm speaking, there are things that you need to overcome? I think all of us need to put up our hands because there are areas in our lives that we need overcoming, areas that does not look like Jesus. There's an area in my life that I need to overcome that does not look like Jesus. And this thing, I can label it, yeah, it's because my dad the way I've grown up, and so that's why I sometimes lose my temper. But sometimes I snap at our kids. It's a sin. It's ugly. And I actually felt this morning to repent of that. Because I don't want that thing to keep on holding me. The King of Glory needs to come in. What are the areas that you need to, where there's frustration and then there comes a rise anger, or there's things that comes forth? And I just want to pause at that. And I realized that it's like one of these things. I realized I need to, like an elder, when he sins, he needs to repent publicly. And I want to repent before you guys that there are times where I actually lose my temper. And one of the qualifications of an elder is that you need to be temperate. It's sin. It's ugly. I need to overcome that thing. And my hope is, as I bring this thing into the light, that thing loses its power over my life. And there are things in your life. Maybe this morning there are things that we need to repent of. Last week a warning has gone out. And Anil, I'm not going to share the dream, but there was a warning, like even as the warning gone out, there was this snake again, a snake dream again. And then the snake pulls into a little circle key. Sorry. And then he makes like he's a guinea pig or a hamster. What's it? A guinea pig. And it's all cute. But actually it's dangerous. And the other dream was about this spider, and it's, you have to get it off of you quickly. I think we need to deal with these things. We need to bring them into the light. Let the King of Glory come in. How do you let him come in? We repent of our sins. We humble ourselves. Who of you are with me today that say, I want the King of Glory to come into my life? There's a sin that I need to overcome. There's a sickness that I need to overcome. And you know, some of these things, and we have been seeing this year, that there's some demonic manifestations in our meetings. And people get freaked out by that. But sometimes we need to rejoice when these things are happening, because then, not sometimes, we actually need to, because whatever has been enslaving and bullying that person cannot handle the presence of Jesus anymore, and he wants to get out. And when it comes out with a shriek or a loud thing, let it go. Let it go. Let it come out. Let it go where Jesus sends it. I always say, like, go where Jesus sends you. I don't know where he's going to take you, but just go where he sends you. Go where he sends you. Let those things surface. Let us open up. He's knocking at the doors of our hearts. Will you open for him to come in? Just imagine, just outside your door, you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's not an enemy that could defeat him. There's no one that could stand in his presence. No one that dares to fight him. But you keep him outside. You're not opening up your heart. You're not letting him in. You're not letting me come in. At midnight in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they just encountered a lady that had the demonic spirit, and they cast the demon out. And you know, it's interesting, this lady actually had the spirit of divination, so she could fortune tell. And she made a lot of money out of that. You know, sometimes there are a condition or a thing in our life, and it's actually become our friend. And so we actually don't want to overcome it, because it's sort of protecting us. It's sort of bringing some benefit to us. So we keep that thing here. But let me tell you, the devil has no better plan than to steal, kill, and destroy. You think at this moment, by keeping this thing here, it's going to help you. And they got mad at Paul because of they cast out the spirit. Now they're not going to make money anymore. But here's a little a girl that was enslaved by the enemy, and he's doing what he wants to do with her life. And they set her free. But what happened in the story, and maybe you know the story, is because they did that, they brought them before this council, and they started whipping them and tore their robes. I mean, who of you think that would have been a very hopeless situation? I mean, I did something very good right now. I helped somebody, and now I'm being beaten for this thing. So they sit in prison. And at midnight, they were not throwing a pity party. They were not in a place of hopelessness. I can imagine their backs were sore. They were speaking to the gates to open up so that the King of Glory can come in. And it says, as they were praising at midnight, the gates started shaking and the gates went open and the king came in. And a Philippian jailer got saved. There are things when the king comes in that things happen. And some of us are in situations because of our own choices. And we need to repent. Because part of the King of Glory coming in is taking responsibility for some of the things that you've done. And saying, Lord, please forgive me. It's not just, King of Glory, come in and fix my problems. It's, King of Glory will come in, but it would mean that you will have clean hands and a pure heart. You will humble yourself. You will deal with the sin in your life. How should we respond to this? Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and a pure speech. The other thing is we should stop trying being king ourselves. If we look at the throne of our hearts, who is sitting there? You or him? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is he Lord of your life? I've given my life to Jesus. He's my Savior, but is he my Lord? Is he my everything? Lord, do you have the steering wheel? Where you go, I go. Where you lead, I go, I follow. If I need to say sorry, I say sorry, I repent. Okay. So it's 10:33, and it's not midnight. It's during the day. And there are some chains, and there are some prison doors. There are some gates that are holding some of us in. And you know, this is not very... I could actually just start and say, hey, open up the gates, let the King of Glory come in, sort out your issues, and... But I want you to see this king. That's my king. That's my king. There is no one like you. So when you invite the King of Glory, you invite one who does not change. Who's faithful, that's good, he's loving. He's not just the warrior, he's the healer. He's the one who counsels, he's the one who comforts. He comes in with everything of who he is. And some of you sit here and you have never opened up your heart for the King of Glory. You actually do not know Jesus. And today is a moment for the first time to open up your hearts and say, Jesus, come in. That scripture in Revelation speaks about to a church, but he's also knocking at the door of unbelievers, and he's saying, hey, I'm knocking. Will you open up the gates? Will you open up the doors? Let the King of Glory come in. So let's just close our eyes. I just want to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come in this moment, that you will come and minister to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and convict of sin, of enemies, of things that we have allowed to harass us, to disable us, to... I know there are areas in our lives, Lord, you are the King and your kingdom is advancing. And I pray in this moment that your kingdom will advance in our lives and that you will come in, King of Glory, and that you will take ground this morning in our lives. I pray that we will no longer sit on the thrones of our hearts by ourselves. Lord, there's another King who has a train that fills the temple, who is a man of war that conquers, the one who is peace also, the one who brings peace, the one who heals, the one who delivers, the one who sets free, and the one who saves. So I even pray right now, if there's anyone here this morning that do not know you, Jesus, I pray right now that you will even come and that you will knock on those doors right now. That when I call now, Lord, that they will know this is me. This is me. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.